This is Radio Superior 1957. Production of actual news events with authentic popular music from the 1950s.
Come, let's stroll across the floor.
This is a true story of our past. So step back with us to another time. We bring you now inside the KUWS radio studios and the Tim Michaels dance party.
Now turn around, baby. Let's go.
Hey, you guys, dolls, cats, and kittens. The Big T, Tim Michaels here, rocking your world. It's a Radioactive Tuesday, September 24th, 1957. Dennis Anderson, the Big DA, has the 6 o'clock news, and we've got a bunch of other stuff, but it doesn't matter because the Braves win the pennant. What a scream.
A real guess.
It's Radioactive, man.
It blows my top, brother, but the labor news matters.
No offense, cousin.
It'd be nice if you figured out how you guys are related.
You got it, Daddy-O. Gershkel's is footing the bill for the 6 o'clock yarn. Get an oven-baked deluxe Hormel ham for just 59 cents a pound. Gershkel's Economy Market with 4 locations in Duluth. Lester Park, Downtown, West End, West Duluth, and it's all yours, Denny Anderson.
Thanks, Tim, and good evening, everyone. Ike calls the Arkansas National Guard into federal service, and the president will speak to the nation tonight on the Little Rock crisis. We begin our world report from Rhode Island.
This is Jack Bell with the president in Newport. President Eisenhower today ordered federalization of the Arkansas National Guard and the state's Air National Guard to deal with Little Rock school integration crisis. At the same time, Eisenhower's vacation headquarters here announced he will fly back to Washington tonight for a nationwide television radio address on the crisis. He expects to go on the air at 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. Eisenhower ordered Secretary of Defense Charles Wilson to federalize the Arkansas Guard in an executive order. The order said a presidential cease-and-desist order to Little Rock rioters had not been obeyed. Eisenhower authorized Wilson to call out such United States troops as Wilson deems necessary to deal with the situation. Yesterday, Eisenhower said he will use the full power of the United States to prevent any obstruction of the law in the Little Rock school integration crisis. About 200 white men and women stood at Little Rock Central High School. There had been no violence in contrast to yesterday, but the 9 Negroes who entered the school yesterday and then withdrew were not on hand today. Eisenhower's legal right to order troops into Little Rock already has been challenged by Governor Orville Faubus. White House Press Secretary Jim Haggerty quoted provisions of the U.S. Code under which Eisenhower acted and asserted, without naming names, quote, "It would seem to me that other people, quoting laws on the president's action, do not know what they are talking about," unquote. Clearly angered by the racial disorders in the Arkansas Capitol, the president took swift action after getting Justice Department reports. In the past, he had spoken out forcibly against use of force to compel integration. Then Mr. Eisenhower, seated on a sun porch at his Navy-based residence here, put his name to a history-making proclamation clearing the way for use of force by the federal government. Last Friday, Governor Faubus obeyed a federal district court order to withdraw National Guardsmen used to bar Negro pupils from Little Rock Central High School. The governor said he put the soldiers there to preserve law and order and to prevent violence. Democratic Senator John McClellan of Arkansas says Eisenhower has no legal authority to use federal troops to force integration. He noted that Congress, in passing civil rights legislation at the last session, repealed a Reconstruction-era law that empowered the president to use troops to enforce court orders in civil rights cases. In Newport, Rhode Island, this is Jack Bell, Associated Press.
This is Bill Cortez in Little Rock, Arkansas. Stunned by the rioting of the past 24 hours, people in Little Rock reacted with surprise and relief today to news that the president ordered government troops to take over the city. It was electrifying news here. It apparently came as a complete surprise to officials at the Capitol and the officers of the Arkansas National Guard, which under the president's order will be federalized now and directed by Washington. One of Governor Faubus' key aides, Claude Carpenter, said, quote, "By God, has he done that?" unquote. Faubus is flying back to Little Rock from Sea Island, Georgia, where he's been at the Southern Governors Conference. He insists the president has no authority to move in on the danger-ridden Little Rock. He said federal troops could be brought in only at his request and that he had no intention of making such a request. The news came while hard-pressed Little Rock police were cracking down with a genuine get-tough policy. At Central High School, focal point of the 22-day-old racial controversy, they collared 11 persons, including 2 youths of high school age, all were white. That brought the total of arrests for 2 days to 44, including both whites and Negroes. All but one were booked on charges of inciting to riot, carrying a weapon, or disturbing the peace. Motorcycle police and squad cars raced all over the city today. They were stopping and searching automobiles and frisking people for weapons. At Central High School, about the same size crowd gathered an hour or so before the buzzer sounded for classes to begin. Police there moved quickly, and in complete contrast to their actions when the rioting broke out Monday, by picking up known agitators early. Without waiting for anything to happen today, officers swiftly surrounded five of them and carted them off to jail. Fewer students reported to school today in the trigger tent situation. At Central High School, no Negro students showed up today. Fear and anxiety rode the streets of Little Rock, Arkansas today. In Little Rock, this is Bill Cortez.
This is Ray Tucker in Washington. For the free world, a great and fortuitous circumstance in Western Europe has been the stable presence of West Germany's Chancellor Konrad Adenauer. Thus, his smashing new election victory is the best possible news. One might imagine offhand that the Soviet Union would have wanted so stout a foe roundly beaten, but that was not the Kremlin strategy. To have helped defeat Adenauer would have been to elevate his social democrat challenger, an unknown quantity, to power in Bonn. The Reds preferred to have Adenauer win a narrow triumph with a margin so small he would be handcuffed in carrying out his pro-Western programs. But the crusty 81-year-old statesman spoiled the plot. Dubbed the Old One by West Germans, he gained a 43-seat majority in the lower legislature, while piling up more than half the total vote in the most impressive election showing in Germany's history. He was first elected in 1946. Barring the unforeseen, West German rearmament under NATO may go forward now at a greater pace. While other Western powers are cutting back, Germany's contribution to European defense looms steadily more important. Since Adenauer's a firm friend of a unified Western Europe, plans for a common European market, already well along, will move ahead more quickly. Under Adenauer, West Germany is a prospering nation, in high contrast to its Soviet-dominated relative East Germany. Unquestionably, the well-being of German citizens had much to do with the Chancellor's victory. We must be tremendously grateful that a nation so strong, so resourceful, and so strategically placed at the communist gateway is now to continue at our side. In Washington, this is Ray Tucker.
Arizona's first Asian flu death of the year has been recorded. The Public Health Service estimates that there have already been 50,000 cases of the Asian flu in this country. Meanwhile, release of almost 2 million doses of the Asian flu vaccine was announced today. 1.3 million will be used for civilians and 386,000 for the armed services. This is the largest quantity released at any one time since the flu vaccine first became announced in August. 5.5 million doses have been released. KUWS Radio News Time is 6:08. Tim Michaels has this message from Gershgall's Economy Market.
Boy, does Gershgall's have some specials for you going on this weekend, this Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Make sure you get down there and shop, because you can get yourself a delicious Hormel Delicate Buffet Ham, 59 cents a pound. That's right, oven-baked deluxe ham. Oh, that sounds good. And also, Libby's Frozen Foods, peas, carrots, leaf spinach, chopped spinach, squash, cut broccoli, cream corn, regular size packages, any six for 89 cents. Campbell's three great soups, chicken, vegetable, minestrone, turkey, noodle, six regular cans, only $1. And U.S. Choice whole trim beef loins, 75 cents a pound. Wow. These specials on sale Thursday, Friday, and Saturday at your four convenient Gershgall locations. 2215 West Superior Street, 125 West First Street, 5928 East Superior Street, and 5536 Grand Avenue. Gershgall's in Duluth. Denny?
A calm, reasoned approach toward Asian flu was urged yesterday in a statement issued jointly by the State Board of Health and the Wisconsin Medical Society. The statement said, quote, "The plain truth is that the flu is currently a mild disease with few complications and most cases can be handled at home," unquote. They gave the following. First, the current lack of vaccine is no cause for alarm. Second, if you get the flu, go to bed and stay there. Third, don't pressure your doctor for penicillin or other so-called miracle drugs. And fourth, don't feel neglected if you aren't sent to a hospital. Crown Prince Olaf is now King Olaf. KUWS Radio Newsman Mike Simonson has details of the monarch many remember for his visits to Duluth and Superior in 1938.
Prince Olaf and Princess Martha spent a couple of days in June 1938 in Duluth and Superior. As you'll remember, Denny, they came to christen Enger Tower, Duluth's highest point, which was built with money from local businessman Bert Enger, who was born in Norway. But yesterday, King Haakon VII of Norway, an old sailor who rode out the storms of invasion to reign for more than half a century, died in the royal palace. He was 85 and the world's oldest reigning monarch. The king had been growing weaker in his fight against circulatory ailment. Crown Prince Olaf, regent of the realm since his father broke a thigh bone in a fall in 1955, immediately became the new king, Olaf V. There will be no coronation. Norway's constitution provided that Haakon was to be the last king formally crowned in coronation ceremonies in Norway. His visit to Superior on June 16th included taking in a Blues baseball game at Municipal Stadium and dinner at Concordia Lutheran Church. You'll see a few framed photographs of locals with the royalty on the living room walls of many homes and even a few barber shops.
Barber shops?
The Sons of Norway Barbershop Quartet gave a rousing performance.
Sweet Adeline, I love their harmony and I love their cute outfits. Now, it's time for One Man's Opinion with Denny Anderson.
We all have been reading how planes and buses are cutting heavily into the railroad passenger business, but it comes as something of a shock, nevertheless, to hear that train passenger car makers are going to stop production. Right now, there are no major orders for passenger cars on the manufacturer's books, and no prospect there will be. The builders are either converting to freight car construction or junking their car building equipment altogether and getting into other lines of work. Can you imagine? No more passenger service to Ashland or to the Twin Cities. The Soo Line Depot closed. No more passengers at the Northern Pacific Union Depot in Ashland. Unthinkable. When it is realized that the average age of all U.S. rail passenger cars now in operation is 28 years, then the full force of this trend becomes evident. Many of these cars obviously will go out of use in the time just ahead. Plainly, business isn't good enough to justify ordering replacements. If the government has any idea that this trend has gone too far and any plan for arresting or reversing it, it had better act. Time is running fast in the railroad passenger field. What may be unthinkable is almost here, folks. Tim, that's the 6 o'clock news. Good night, everybody, and be kind.
One man's rant with Denny Anderson.
That would be opinion.
Yeah. I'm just rattling your cage, you big palooka. Let's check the weatherman. Crystal ball for this Tuesday, September 24th, 1957. Not so hot, not so nippy, kind of like the Three Bears porridge. With clear skies and a low tonight of 35 with heavy frost. Although I didn't think frost weighed much. Cooler tomorrow and sunny with a high of 55. Now, from the cream of the crop, from the top of the pops, from the stack of the back of the wax, the diamonds, and Little Darlin' on Kickin' KUWS.
That my lover, what was just for you.
My darling, I need you to call my own and never do wrong. To hold in mind your little hand, I'll know too soon that all is so grand. Please hold my hand.
My head, get up. My head's wrong.
Cha-cha-cha. The Diamonds' Hotsy Totsy hit on the 1957 Billboard charts. Little Darlin' on Kickin' KUWS. The Silver Screens in Duluth have some burnin' flicks showin' Cats and Kittens tonight and tomorrow night at the Dork. It's Jerry Lewis as the Delicate Delinquent in VistaVision. The Lyceum has a double feature with Buster Crabb in the Lawless 80s and Richard Boone and Marino Sullivan in the Tall T. Wonder if that's about me. Adults get in for 35 cents at the Lyceum. Kitties and tall teens who scrunch down get it for 15 cents. And Cats in the Balcony with the Kittens have it made in the shade in double features. The Lyric has two Sock Shock shows, Beginning of the End with Peter Graves, he's a handsome dude, and Unearthly with John Carradine, lured to the House of Monsters. I have no clue what a Sock Shock show is, Cats and Kittens, trust me. And at the Granada, it's Stuart Granger. He's kind of a cute guy, too. And Rhonda Fleming, and she's a great gal with Classy Chassis, in Guns of Glory. Pow, pow, pow. The first 200 kiddies at the Saturday matinee get a free Western comic book, and they'll be giving away a Ruger 22 caliber Frontier-style revolver, too. For the old folks, not the kiddies, at the Grand... At the, almost said the grandpa. At the Granada. Sweet giveaway. And at the North Shore, it's Howard Hughes' new Sock Shock show, Jet Pilot with John Wayne, Janet Lee, and the U.S. Air Force. Wow. They also have a Tweety cartoon. The North Shore, dial Randolph 29211. The Labor guy's up next. I'll bet he's like all the others in La La Land with the Braves winning the pennant last night. Let's knock one in the new park from Buddy Knox and Party Girl on the Tim Michaels Dance Party.
And all I want is party down. Come along with me if you're feeling wild. To be ever loving, true and fair. To run her fingers through my hair. Come along and be my party down. Come along and be my party down. I wanna have a party with you. Come along and be my party doll. Come along and be my party doll. Come along and be my party doll. I'll make love to you, to you. I'll make love to you. Every man has got to have a party doll. To be with him but when he's feeling wild. To be ever loving, true and fair. To run her fingers through his hair. To run her fingers through his hair. Come along and be my party doll. Come along and be my party doll. Come along and be my party doll. I'll make love to you, to you. I'll make love to you.
That farm boy from Happy Texas, No Jive, that's the name of the hometown. The Rockabilly Sounds of Buddy Knox tops this week's Billboard chart and Party Doll on Kickin' KUWS. Buddy Knox is just off a gig on the Alan Freed TV show in New York. It's the Superior Federation of Labor's Cat Jay Fisher. You in La La Land 2, sport?
If you means I didn't get my beauty sleep last night, you got that right.
Do you realize you're rooting for a bunch of non-union guys playing for owners who have banned union activity with an act of Congress?
That's true. But sometimes, brother, you gots to relax. Enjoy what we got, and we got Hank Aaron and Wes Covington and Hurricane Bob Hazel and Red Shane Dienst and Frank Torrey. I didn't even mention Warren Spahn or Eddie Matthews. Give them time. They'll get organized, and it'll be the best thing for the game. Mark my words.
I like Andy Pavko, too.
The way he stepped in for Bobby Thompson when he got injured this summer, priceless, brother.
So what's the world of Jimmy Hoffa and congressional investigations got for us tonight?
Ooh, low blow. Hey, I gotta say this. Way to go, Ike, nationalizing the federal troops in Little Rock. Let's get those kids a fair and square education with the white kids. But we've got another message for the president. Yes, Ike will be careful, selective buyers, just as you advised us to be in order to fight inflation. We'll give up whatever plans we had for the new $50,000 house, a new Cadillac convertible, a new silver mink coat for the little lady, or even a new yacht. Matter of fact, that's no great sacrifice for us brothers and sisters of labor, since at an average worker's weekly wage of about $80, caddy convertibles and motor yachts hardly qualify for a place on the shopping list. I means to tell you, after the rent and the insurance is paid, and the food is bought at the supermarket, and the kids get new shoes for school, and last month's doctor bill is finally paid off, then it's easy for us to be careful and selective about how we spend the balance of our paychecks. There's precious little left.
Tell it, brother.
We'd appreciate it, though, Ike, if you would do something to halt the rising cost of living. Surely a veto of a badly needed pay raise for postal and other government workers, whose wages are already low, is not the answer. Nor is the answer halting wage increases for low and middle income families. Somewhere, Ike, lurking among the host of powers available to the federal government is a way to tame the inflation lion without pushing the country into recession. As president, you ought to look for these powers and use them. Meanwhile, Ike, we'll be buying carefully and selectively. I means to say, what choice have we got?
Lay it on me, brother!
I just did. That's all I got.
And Timmy here was just getting jazzed.
Well, I got the meat cutters and butchers number 561 meeting tonight at 7 at the Lieber Temple.
I hear they have a great salad bar.
It isn't a good idea to crack wise about guys who make their living with a meat cleaver.
Pretty brandless of me, brother. Stick around and we'll talk Braves talk, but hang on. It's KUWS's Twin Spin Time. A Mediterranean twin spin. First, the 1953 geographical chartbuster by the four lads. Istanbul, not Constantinople. On the Tim Michaels Dance Party.
Istanbul was Constantinople, now it's Istanbul, not Constantinople. Been a long time gone, old Constantinople, still is Turkish delight on a moonlit night. Every gal in Constantinople lives in Istanbul, not Constantinople. So if you've a date in Constantinople, she'll be waiting in Istanbul. Even old New York was once New Amsterdam. Why they changed it, I can't say.
People just liked it better that way.
Take me back to Constantinople.
No, you can't go back to Constantinople. Now it's Istanbul, not Constantinople. Why did Constantinople get the works? That's nobody's business but the Turks.
Liked it better that way.
Take me back to Constantinople. No, you can't go back to Constantinople. Now it's Istanbul, not Constantinople. Why did Constantinople get the works? That's nobody's business but the Turks. Istanbul.
It's a KUWS Twin Spin. Here's Rosemary Clooney.
Girl went back to Napoli because she missed the scenery, the native dances and the charming songs. But wait a minute, something's wrong.
mixed up Siciliano. All you calabresi do the mambo like a crazy with a hey, mambo. Don't want a tarantella. Hey, mambo. No more the mozzarella. Hey, mambo. Mambo Italiano. Try an enchilada with the fish baccalà. And hey, gumba. I love how you dance a rumba. But take some of advice, Faisano. Learn how to mambo. If you're gonna be a square, you ain't gonna go nowhere. Hey, mambo. Mambo Italiano. Hey, mambo. Mambo Italiano. Go, go, Joe. Shake like a Giovanni. Hey, look, as a ditch, you get a happy in the feet. So when you mambo, shake it, cause I love it when you take a me. Mama say stop or I'm gonna tell a papa and I hate ya drool. You don't have to go to school. Just make a weed a beat a bambino. It's like a vino. Kid, you're good at looking, but you don't know it's cooking till you hate mambo. Mambo Italiano, hey, mambo, mambo Italiano, oh, 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 you mixed up Siciliana, it's so delicious, everybody come capisce how to mambo, Italiano. That's nice.
Yeah, that's nice, yeah, Rosemary Clooney's 1955 kooky hit Mambo Italiano. Before that, our favorite Canadian quartet, The Four Lads in Istanbul, not Constantinople. Both songs are used by the Fuzz for a sobriety test.
For the record, Tim, the Turks changed Constantinople to Istanbul in 1930.
Wow, four lads are slow.
Having learned the hard way about his lame jokes, don't ask.
Why?
Because the lads put the tune out in 1953.
I warned you.
My fault.
Now, Superior Evening Telegram reporter Marjorie Slotin with Up and Down the Street.
There's a big change going on at the Telegram. A new law signed by Governor Vernon Thompson permits publication of names of juveniles charged with traffic violations. So, we're using juvenile names in the paper.
How many times have you done that?
So far, six.
And how many irate calls from parents of those teens have you gotten?
So far, six. Newspaper editors have wanted the law for many years, and the Wisconsin Editorial Association supports it. The idea behind printing these JV names is not to unduly punish the youngsters, but we figure if a teen can drive a car, he must be responsible when he violates the rules of the road. Now some sunny news. A Chicago couple who square-danced with the Superior Squarinators this summer commented in a Chicago Dudes and Dolls square-dancing newsletter that those swell folks in Superior surely were the picture of hospitality and friendliness.
Squarinators? Denny would like to make that scene.
The Squarinators dance every Thursday at the Woodman Hall in Alawese from 8:30 to 11 p.m. Membership is open. A Saturday Review of Literature article titled Democracy's Campuses writes about land-grant colleges in American life. It points out that these schools, including the University of Wisconsin, were dubbed cow colleges and have emerged amid scorn and derision from the other schools of long-standing prestige. The review concludes, quote, these once maverick cow colleges are now listed not only with the best of breed, but some are grand champions. University of California, the University of Wisconsin, Massachusetts Institute of Technology, for example. E.F. Kobe of 2217 Banks Avenue informs us about his 7-foot-high tomato plant. It has 40 tomatoes on one bush. And it's beanie time at Superior State. Upperclassmen began decorating freshman heads with green beanies last week as the fall term opened. Freshman caps are compulsory headgear and are being sold by the campus's S Club.
Marjorie Slotin of the Superior Evening Telegram with Up and Down the Street.
That is the squarest report I've ever heard, except for yesterday's Tune In Teens report and green beanies. Don't do it, cats and kittens. Fight the man.
Superior State President Jim Dan Hill may be knocking at your door, Tim.
Colonel Hill is one tough customer.
I bet he never wore a green beanie. A special report from Milwaukee next. But first, Here's Buddy Holly and the Crickets and Oh Boy on the Tim Michaels Dance Party.
All of my love, all of my kissing, you don't know what you've been missing, oh boy.
Oh boy,
when you're with me, oh boy.
Oh boy,
the whole world can see that you were meant for me. All of my life I've been waiting, tonight there'll be no hesitation, oh boy.
Oh boy,
when you're with me, oh boy.
Oh boy,
the whole world can see that you were meant for me. Stars appear and the shadows are falling, and you can hear my heart calling. A little bit of loving makes everything right. I'm gonna see my baby tonight. All of my love, all of my kissing, you don't know what you've been missing, oh boy.
Oh boy,
when you're with me, oh boy.
Oh boy,
the world can see that you were meant for me. You're with me, oh boy.
Oh boy,
the whole world can see that you were meant for me. Stars appear and the shadows are falling. You can hear my heart calling. A little bit of loving makes everything right. I'm gonna see my baby tonight. All of my love, all of my kissing. You don't know what you've been missing, oh boy.
Oh boy,
when you're with me, oh boy.
Oh boy,
the whole world can see that you.
Buddy Holly and the Crickets' latest Oh Boy on Kickin' KUWS. The DA has a secret brave surprise.
It's a report by Milwaukee Sentinel sports editor Chuck Capula.
The home of the Braves became the land of the whoopee last night as Henry Aaron's 43rd home run of the season sailed majestically into the brisk September dusk in the right center field side of Bernie's Woods at County Stadium. The Milwaukee faithful, who've been baseball bridesmaids for four straight years, took a deep breath and popped the cork. But when you tell it to the grandchildren, back up a little. Start in the 10th inning when the score stood St. Louis 2, Milwaukee 2, and there was a chill creeping up in the tiers in the ball yard on the banks of the Menominee that did not owe entirely to the 47-degree breeze. 5 miles away in downtown Milwaukee, the light winked bleakly on empty streets. At a cab stand inside a hotel, 5 cab drivers hunched over a radio. A dowager bedecked in mink came out of the hotel and drew a fine sight on a cab driver. "Cabby," she said firmly. "Cabby," said the lady in mink. "Ah, shut up," said a cab driver, not looking around. The lady in mink glared. On the radio, Crandall had been walked, filling the bases. Then walked in pinch hitter Frank Torrey. The cab drivers meditated glumly. The lady in mink said suddenly, "That Haney, what's the matter with Hazel?" The cab drivers all looked around with new respect, especially when Torrey hit into a double play. In the top of the 11th, Connolly was pitching for the Milwaukees. The cab drivers moaned. The lady in mink said, "Connolly will be all right," and he was. One of the cab drivers said politely, "Soon as the ball game's over, I'll be with you already." Then it was the last of the 11th. There were 2 out. Then there was Aaron. The lady in mink was vindicated, but she didn't get anywhere. Before Henry's long ball stopped bouncing, the cab drivers ran screeching from the hotel, scattering like a covey of quail. The dowager watched them go, more in sorrow than in anger. A drunk wandered into the hotel lobby, caught the expression on her face, and said, "That'll teach you to marry a ball player." Out on Wisconsin Avenue, the cork popped. Just to show you how Milwaukeeans were carried away, the entire population of one main bar ran shrieking into the street, stopped in horror when the cold air restored their judgment, and rushed back in again. Suddenly there were people, hundreds of people, and hundreds of cars, 6 lanes of them with horns blaring. A girl with close-cropped red curls, a green sweater, and tight pants turned graceful cartwheels diagonally across the intersection of 5th Street and Wisconsin. Grinning policemen tried to catch her, but not very hard. A convertible with a live radiator ornament moved past in traffic. 2 squad car patrolmen smiled benignly as it passed, then did an indignant double-take and chased it. The law, determined to let the stream of years escape with as little throttling as possible, stopped another convertible full of bravos. Overloaded, they said, while the crowd booed happily. But the spoiled sports made 13 of the youngsters pile out of the car anyway, reducing the travelers to 8 remaining. At 12:30 a.m., the multitude spilled out over the street, and police gave up. They blocked Wisconsin Avenue between 3rd and 6th Streets. Snake dances wound past the fashionable shops of the downtown area. A nightclub band left its nightclub and headed a parade. Snake dances wound into the dignified Schrader Hotel, with some of the guests joining in cheerfully. Some of the guests, however, did not. In fact, some regarded the festivities with increasing coolness. Turned out to be delegates of the Wisconsin Chiefs of Police Association. On Wisconsin Avenue again, celebrants were climbing electric light poles. Police officers, determined to stall all possible fractures, took to seizing climbers by the foot as they left the ground. On one pole, it looked for a time as though there might be an interesting sequence of climber, cop, and so on. At the cab stand, the drunk who had talked to the lady in mink was sitting down. A friend weaved in. "Congratulations," said the friend. "You played a great game." And the sounds of merrymaking receded and grew dim, but did not die.
Milwaukee Sentinel sports editor Chuck Capula.
Unreal. The Braves will make the scene with the Yanks in the World Series. I am on cloud nine and Denny's in La La Land.
The Braves versus the Yanks. Wow.
You said it, brother. The Braves and the Bronx Bombers.
We're going to stomp those Yankees.
Pulverize them.
Make them chew cowhide.
Ironically, here in the Dairy State.
I wonder if the mink lady ever got a cab. Well, time to cut out cats and kittens. Tune into KDAL-TV for the afternoon soaps. It starts at 12:30 with As the World Turns, Guiding Light, Search for Tomorrow, and Secret Storm. And my fave, The Edge of Night. We'll be back same time, same dog pound, the good Lord willing, and Jim Dan Hill doesn't pound me. For Denny Anderson and the gang, this is Tim Michaels, rocking your world.
You've been listening to Radio Superior 1957, an original production by KUWS Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio. Radio Superior is produced and written by Mike Simonson. Your players are Kathy Loxo, Michael Leland, Dave Strandberg, and Pat Kelly. All events reported on Radio Superior 1957 are actual accounts from the Superior Evening Telegram. This is your announcer, Mark Snow. Thanks for listening.
Oh, bye, bye.